The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. And thank you for a privilege that you've given us to open your word. It is a good word. It is about you. And because it is about you, there's no waste of words. We ask you now that you would guide and lead your servant, move him out of the way to have the freedom to say and do whatever you wish to whomever. For those of us who need comfort, Lord, I pray you would comfort us. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you would convict us. In your son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say,
praise God.
Would you look in that coat pocket and see if my glasses are in there? It is an amazing thing that we start with the book of John. And we started with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Is that coat giving you a little trouble, bro? It's giving me the business, too. I know I stuck it in. What did I do with it? Well, I found the pocket, but it's the wrong one. Yay. There we go. Got to be on this side. Surprise. Evidently, this is going to be a good sermon. I couldn't even find the pockets in the coat. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, Jesus Christ, the Word, not just spoke, took action. If you missed all that, please order the tapes or download it from the church website to be able to catch up. We have verse 9. We're going to run through that very quickly so that we can get over to verse 13 and 14. Thus was a true light, verse 9, John 1, which lighted every man that coming into the world. That light, of course, we know is Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. He is the true light. So if there's a true light, we have established that it must be a false light. And the many things that has gone on in our world today. And we know that the number one false light is Satan himself. Mm-hmm. That verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. We've already established last week, you got to watch out on the movement from the world to the world. You got to watch out from the change of what the world means and what it does not mean in these verses. In verse 10, we said he was in the world, the cosmos, that which he created, and the world was made by him. All things was made by Jesus Christ. Nothing that was made by the Holy Spirit. Nothing that was made by God the Father. God the Son, Jesus Christ, created all things. And that world that he created, he stepped into, and the world knew him not. The world means mankind right there. It's transferred because creation understands him. Creation understands what's going on. Creation has never, ever rejected God. Creation in the aspect of things. The rocks, the trees, the earth, that has never, as a matter of fact, it's so upset. Romans 8 tells us that it moans and groans to get back to that fellowship that it had before man fell. Animals never broke fellowship with God. It's only man, woman, who broke that fellowship. And it says that that world that he stepped into, knew him, but the world of mankind knew him not. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Again, the first own means one thing, the second own means another thing. He came unto his own, he came into that which he has created, which should honor him, even mankind that he created. We talked about, you know, Jesus Christ, when he was in his mother's womb, was the one who created his mother. held her together for 9 months, so we know where life begins. We eliminated that in our discussion, in our preaching. By this, we know that life begins at conception. Because if it doesn't until later on, or until he's born and take his first breath, Jesus Christ did not exist for 9 months. And if he did not exist for 9 months, he ceases to be eternal. He ceases to be eternal. He can't die for our sins. Can I have an amen? Amen. Then we got into, well, we stopped. We need to jump on verse 12. But as many has received him, praise be to God. Many of us sitting in here falls into this verse. See, even though his own mankind, man who he had created, had sustained, held together, put air on this earth, that man rejected him, but some of us received him. Some of us believed in him. I don't know what. I think it's kind of hard for us to really come to the conclusion that if God showed up, is it right for us not to join the party? If God is on this earth, what kind of person would we be to say, I don't need him and I don't need to pay him any attention? We wouldn't do that to a bad relative. If they showed up, we probably would at least be nice and give hints about when to leave. But we will at least entertain them. We got some of creation, some of mankind that refuses to even celebrate God himself, who created all things, to come to his own. And what's worse, some of us who has received him don't give him the due respect that a God who has visited earth should get. You know, if someone came from outer space, we did a skit 1 year. And when we was at Pro Athletes Outreach, we had one of the guys standing on the street, and all of a sudden a spaceship showed up. That would get your attention in more ways than one, especially if you're a Christian. Can I have an amen? Easter Island. Satan is trying to fool me. You know, we would go through those kind of thoughts prayerfully. So the spaceship landed. The guy standing on the corner, just an average, everyday citizen. The guy walks out of the spaceship, and he was a reporter from another world. And he started asking questions about, what do you guys celebrate down here on this planet called Earth? I got to write about something big. He said, well, you know, we elected our president back in November. Well, our president, what's that? He is the head of the United States and the most powerful man in all the world. That ain't no big news. Give me some good news. I want some big news. I got to write something when I get back. I'm burning up a lot of fuel to get down here. Especially with the price of gas. Can I have an amen? My wife got mad at me the other day, I told you. Told me she wanted to go to someplace expensive. We need to dress up. So we did, and I took her to a gas station. You know I wouldn't do that. And live, yes. Yes. And so he goes, no, I'm talking about something big. I mean, catastrophic. He said, well, let me see. Just something happened the other day. It was St. Louis Cardinals. Came back and won the World Series, and everyone celebrate. World Series. I don't want that kind of news. I want some big news. Somebody winning the. Who watched baseball? Even on my planet, we know nobody watched baseball to the playoffs. He said, well, there's another big event. Ah, tell me about it. Tell me about it. Man, we celebrate the Super Bowl. He said, Super Bowl? That sounds big. What is that? He says, guys beat up each other all year long. Come to the final two, the best that go against each other, and whoever wins, big, big, big thing on earth. Super Bowl. That don't sound big. Super Bowl. Football, that sounds like a game where 22 people in dear need of rest is watched by 60,000 people in dear need of exercise. Can I have an amen? That ain't no big thing. He said, oh, I can tell you. What is it? He said, man, we was visited by God. What? Yeah. God came to our earth. He didn't come to yours? No! God came here. God came here, man. Walked around on and stayed here for 33 years with us. Said, man, and that's new. So that's news right there. So, what do you guys do? Did you have a big banquet for him? Well, no. Did you have a party, a parade? Did you set everything aside, stop doing everything while I was here? Well, no. Well, man, I can't think. What did you do? God came, visit you guys. What did you do? The guy says, we killed him. We killed him. And every day, you have the responsibility and I have the responsibility to make sure he's still alive or to kill him all over again. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. I like this power stuff. Gave them power to become the children of God. What kind of power does it become the children of God? The blood of Christ, the most powerful thing ever shed on this earth. Given to you and I. To become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know, God could have asked us to do anything he wanted to become a believer. Have you ever thought about that? He could have put some things on us that would just shaken us to our core. He could have made it so difficult to become a believer. And God is God, so he could come up with some awfully difficult requirements. But you know what he said? Believe. We talked about John 3:16. So whosoever believes is the greatest simplicity that could ever be. Anybody know what it means to believe? We're not talking about just okay. Yeah, that could be right. I'm not talking about that. Even the demons believe. I think that's what the scripture says. But listen to what else it says. It says, even the demons believe, but at least they tremble. How many of us get just a spiritual shiver sometimes? Knowing that God is right here. Not just in the room. Not just in the house. Not just in the community. not just in our state, not just in our nation, not just in our world, who came from heaven to reveal himself to you and I, but he is right here in the form of the Holy Spirit. And you know what we do? We do some crazy things with God living in us. We take him to some crazy places. And we don't even tremble when we do it. We make him listen to language that is unbelievable. And don't even think twice about it. We make him hear our thoughts that we can even be ashamed of. Can I get an amen? Amen. And not even tremble. Do things to people. When he says to think of others as being more important than yourself. My godson got married yesterday. That's why I'm so tired right now. I can't see. It's been a long week. But what a great celebration. One of the things I said to them was, you know, there's no more I. Last I you're going to have is I do. From now on, it better be we or you. That is the conversation you have. We or you. If you go to the store and buy a Coke, you better buy two. One diet. Now, we got more preachers in this church. In the church. But I let you preach on that. I told him, I said, you know, what we forget a lot of times when crisis says, think of others as being more important than yourself, we forget the other is our mate. Don't we? If you're married, don't we have a quick tendency to forget that verse when it comes to our husband, our wife? Because God thought more of you and I than himself for him to come down to give us the power to become one of his children. Can we, as believers, come up with a new understanding and excitement about our relationship with Christ? Does it have to stay humdrum? Not in my house. I love myself from Jesus. I do. I've never been more consistent in anything in my life than my Christianity. Nothing. There's been no commitment I've ever made has come close to my commitment to Jesus Christ. Why? Because somehow he has opened my mind and my brain to understand what he did as God for me. He let himself be killed by us. He could have called down legions. Woo-wee! And we're not talking about men soldiers, menses. We're not talking about menses, right? We're talking about angels. Legions, showstoppers. Legions of angels. He could have said, you know what? I've had enough of y'all. Boys! Now, I don't know about you, but one angel killed 185,000 soldiers in one night and didn't break a sweat. He could mess us up. Come through here and all of them be just, oh. They would find us in a couple of days stuck in our chairs. What happened to that chariot? Oh, God came through. So he had had enough with Antioch. Boom! Now, those of us that are sitting here right now that has accepted the Lord Jesus, has got the power to become the children of God, oh, it won't be nothing here but our bodies. We'll be with him even if he smoked us. Can I have an amen? Amen. But if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you're going to be having a party too, but you're going to be all by yourself. I'm going to stay a non-Christian. So when I die, I'll be with my friends and we can party. Ooh-wee, that's a lie of the enemy. You're going to be by yourself, secluded in darkness, because all light's going to be removed, called the sun. Just like the light was removed when he was crucified on the cross at 12 noon, became sin, and it was dark until sin was removed from him for you and I, and it came back at 3. Now, that's something. I don't know if I was there that day. Somebody? If we was there that day, that got to get your attention. Would that have been an eclipse? That got to get your attention. And if that didn't get your attention, when it lit up a little bit, there was people that got out of the grave was walking around saying, ooh. Y'all messed up this time. Ooh, I'm going to go back over here and lay down because I know. Boom. Now you talk about a Halloween story right there, Jack. God was crucified and graves opened up. You know what? There's nothing in the Bible that says there was a great awakening in coming to Christ. Wow. We killed him. You have to decide, am I going to continue to kill him every day? By my life, by my lack of observation, by my lack of love. Nothing in my life have I been more consistent about than my Christianity. All the way down from grades to professional football. Nothing. And that's why I can be the man in my family. That's why I can be the husband to my wife. That's why I can be the father to my children. On a consistent basis. Jesus is first. And all my family know I love them. But my love for them don't come anywhere near my love for Christ. And if my kids mess up and don't want to walk with God, they know I'm going to follow Christ's rules instead of my emotional rules. And they're going to be dealt with according to the word of God. And know that without a shadow of a doubt. Do you live that way in your home? Does your children know that regardless, you're going to follow the word of God, or are you just going to love them and show them love and let them know that they are loved? Better have a definition of what love means. Got to be a godly love. Ooh, should we leave that alone for a little bit? Everyone is saying, yeah. I think we ought to move on there, Blue Angel. Who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not the will of man, but of God. Anyone in here have any idea what that means? Man can come up with this. Man can come up with this plan. I had one of my buddy, Rabbi Daniel Laffin, come in and do a special with us, see if I can get him back. Come up with some other topics. Then give him a challenge about Jesus Christ again. The rabbi speaks about why did we know that God wrote the Bible? Oh.
coming from an Old Testament view of why we know God wrote the Bible. Let's look at when the Bible was written and talk about some of the instances that happened in the Bible before man could ever even know about the experience. And he just goes down one thing after another thing, proving. And then the last thing he said is, how many of you in here would know man would put the restrictions on himself the way the Bible does? Man wouldn't have wrote this book and had that many restrictions. I know I wouldn't. And I think, you know, I'm supposed to be a godly man. I had to put me a couple of oops clauses in several of the books. Can I have an amen from something? Y'all wouldn't? You're looking at me like, oh, you're pagan. You're looking at me like I'm a pagan. All of us would have put some oops clauses. We would have written second opinions. Amen. Would have filled that book up. Okay. We're born. Wait a minute. He's God. Was it born business? Yes. Took on the flesh. But that flesh was born not of blood. He had blood. Yes, he had blood. He had blood through his mother, not through his father's seed. Because coming through his mother and not his father's seed and sperm, he has no sin. Sin was passed down by the seed of man. I'm going to talk to Adam about that when I get to heaven. Can I have an amen, somebody? Dude, what's up? You didn't have to go with that woman. Oh, I see you. Yeah, she was new and knockout. Well, she was a pretty thing. But God could have made another one. Can I have an amen? He took one rib. He can get another, bro. You're doing all right without that spare rib. You know, you got to have that conversation. And you ladies, don't be looking at me like I'm going to have a conversation with Adam. I know every one of y'all going to have a conversation with Eve. Girl, are you the one responsible for this childbirth pain stuff? I guarantee you, if men had to have babies, you had to worry about no overpopulation. Get out of that. We'd be running from you women. Don't touch me. Oh, Lord, man. Some serious fear going on. Not the will of the flesh. The flesh love being bad. You know that? The flesh love being bad. Can't get enough. Flesh just enjoys it. I mean, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit whipping up on the flesh, as a Christian, you know some of the things we would even still do? Don't be surprised at what people will do that do not have the restraint of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Don't be surprised. Because, you know, we have to be surprised what Christians do. Who has the Holy Spirit living in us. And we crucify Christ. We kill him every day by our actions and our thoughts. Or our lack of thoughts about him. Not the flesh. Flesh is nasty. It wants its own way. Not of the will of man. Some translations have not by the will of the Father. Mean dad. Because again, dad had nothing to do with the birth of Christ. Just mom. Sin entered the world by mom. Salvation entered the world by mom. What a relationship. Verse 14. And the word was made flesh. I like that. Come on now.
He was made flesh. He took on man's body. He stepped out. Do you understand anything about what this is saying? From eternity past, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit was spirit. From eternity past, with little periodic show-ups, as an epiphany, God would come and be around. Angel of the Lord. I've already taught you how to know the difference between the angel of the Lord being an angel and the angel of the Lord being Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind. From eternity past, pure close fellowship of the Trinity. And when he became flesh and became sin, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit turned their backs on him. From eternity past. And when he was resurrected with the new body. Still with the nail prints in his hand and feet. And the piercing of the sword in his side. Guess what? He was resurrected with his new body with those. It's going to be with him for eternity. Jesus Christ, when he became the flesh and died for you and I and was resurrected with a new body, will never ever be spirit again in the way he was before. He's always going to have a body. You want to know what he did for you and I? He changed eternity past in relationship of the Trinity for you and I. And we want to take him for granted? I don't think so. Not me. Not ever. I pray not you. The Word, the Christ, the action of God, the Logos became flesh and dwelt among us. Woo! Did you give him a party? You have a parade! With the God who became flesh and dwelt among us. Now check this out. Same word used in Hebrews chapter 11, talking about Abraham as he dwelt in tents, moved around. Sarah, who dwelt in tents. The Israelites, who dwelt in tents. The Levitical priesthood, who never had a foundation building. Dwelling means temporarily. He was here temporarily in the flesh. I don't know. I shouldn't get this excited about just reading a verse. But is it a little bit more than a verse? Is it information you and I need to be reminded of? I told the guys last night, when I was speaking to the Hawks, we have a real serious problem when we don't give God the honor that we should. It's bad. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And when I said that to the guys, I talked about how many has never accepted Jesus.
who is going to live an eternity. Amen? He's going to live an eternity without him. I said, no, that's worse than what happened in my hometown. Buddy of mine, Chuck Phillips. Never forget Chuck. One of the funniest guys I think I've ever met. But he talked about this issue of having to go to court. And while he was there, the guy that was there before him was standing for the judge. He realized, man, this is not going to be a good day. This judge is not in a good mood from what he just did to this guy. I don't know what the guy did, but the judge gave him 115 years. 115 years in prison. And the guy goes, judge, what? He said, 115 years. Bam. He said, judge, I can't do 115 years. There's no way I can do 115 years. The judge says, do what you can. Do what you can. Is that a cold statement coming from a judge? I'm telling you. You know what's even worse? God's going to say to everyone that don't believe, 115 years? Oh, no. That's a walk in Disneyland. You are eternally committed to the open pit for eternity. That's me in my house. As for me and my house, come on, y'all. Talk to the pastor. Woo! And we're going to have 7 years of banquet. First, you know God can make some serious barbecue sauce. But since this is a church for all people, we'll have some great poupon for you to dip your spare ribs in. Yes, sir. Can you understand, folks, what we're dealing with? We're dealing with God. And I pray you will accept him. Because whether you like it or not, God is kind of like the fish. In Matthew 17, when he told Peter, he said, go down, put your hook in the water, and the first fish you catch, anyone hear this? First fish you catch, you bring him out, open his mouth, and there's a coin in there. Now, I just want to know, is there anybody in here that can trust God more than a fish? I'm just asking. Is there anyone in here can trust God more than a fish? So what do you mean, Pastor? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you what I mean. First thing, Peter didn't ask any questions. Because Peter was a professional fisherman. Anyone know what professional fishermen fish with? Nets. Not a hook. A net. You know what Jesus asked Peter to do? Be obedient to me and move away from your profession. Because most of us think that, you know, just because we got a little training, God's going to have to use us that way. There's a lot of people won't go on the mission field because they can't, especially music people, won't go on the mission field because they can't get a piano in their canoe. Because we think if we got an ability and a talent, God's got to use it. So first thing Peter did just went, and you know he didn't even ask God, where should I go I want to see a Galilee the fish. I know he went down to the Dead Sea, because if he was at the Dead Sea, that was a real nice catch. Because everything down there is what?
Dead.
He didn't ask him where. He just picked up his hook. Down south, what do you put on your hook? Worms. You know what they said last night? Bait. Bait. Now, if I was that fish, as most Christians would be, because God had to communicate to that fish, right? He had to tell that fish, you go over and find that hook, hold that coin in your mouth, get on it, and someone's going to pull it out of your mouth. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was the fish, I would think, hey, is it okay if I just come to the edge of the water and spit it out? I'm just asking, Christians. Would that be not your conversation? I know you told me to go get on the hook, but we can accomplish the same thing if I just spit it out. Two, how sharp is the hook? Since I got to get on it, how sharp is it? Because if it's sharp, you know, it'll go in real easy and can come out. But if it's blunt, and I know Peter usually fish with nets, so he don't have a bunch of hooks. Can I have an amen, somebody?
Yeah.
Then I think the last question would ask is, could you please tell me, Lord, is this catch and release? You know, in the black community, there's no such thing. It's catch and release. That is a white man's sport right there. Okay. I don't care what anybody said. My mom will tell you right now, she go fishing, if it's big enough to bite, it's big enough to be bitten. Get me some hot grease. We don't even go for sushi. I don't know. What would be your conversation? What is your conversation? Why are you saying no to Jesus? That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous for us as believers to say no, and for you who don't know him to say no. He's here. He's visiting. He's his God. And he's saying, I want you. I want a relationship with you. But you're going to have to surrender. You're going to give it up. You have to give you up. We're not playing games. No easy believism here. It means you're going to change 180 degrees because God's going to come in and make sure that that happens. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come before you, pray. Thank you for your gospel message of the book of John. And for the opportunity we have to give every Sunday for someone to accept Christ because of the message. He's come in the flesh. He was God. He was man. He lived without sin. He got on the cross, died in your place, was buried. 3 days later, rose again to defeat death in your life if you accept him. And you must say, Jesus Christ, I believe you're God. I believe you're man. I believe you live without sin. I believe you got on the cross, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again in order for me to be given the power to become one of your children. Thank you for forgiving me because you said you would if I asked. Thank you for accepting me as one of your children today, right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church, or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.